order.
I made billions. I made billions. Google illegal immigration.
Well, we'll have to do that extra for Janet, perhaps.
It's dispensation.
This is the meeting of the Newcastle County Council Community Services Committee. Present for this meeting is President Bullock, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Tackett, Councilman Smalley, Councilman Cartier, Councilman Weiner, Councilwoman Diller, Ismaid, Mikhail Trailer, and I'm Penrose Hollins. The second item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the November 24th meeting. Is there a motion?
Motion to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
The minutes from the meeting of November 24th are hereby adopted. We have the next item on the agenda is Homeless Initiative for Veterans presentation. I will yield to the general manager for the introduction.
Good afternoon. Sophia Hanson, general manager of Community Services. Before we start our presentation, we did a Blessing in the Bag initiative. It was started by the Cold Waters in our department. We collected over 670 of these bags to give out to all types of homeless people. And we wanted to thank Holly and County Council for donating 20 bags. The people were very appreciative, and something like this really means a lot. So thank you very much for that. We're here to present on our challenge to end veterans homelessness. Michelle Obama, they had a big campaign nationally, and a lot of elected officials signed on to the campaign. Of course, County Executive Thomas Gordon was one of the first signers to the challenge. And so we have Rachel Beatty here from the Homeless Council to present. But we also have a special guest here who's actually a veteran. And after Rachel's presentation, you'll hear from Carrie Beatty. So we'll begin.
And then you're going to introduce your special guest, and you have a couple other people here, I think?
Yeah, they're part of the presentation.
Okay, very well.
It's all right. Anticipation. Yeah, it's anticipation. We thought you'd see the bag. Get you excited, and then Rachel.
Okay, all right.
Thank you. Well, I was very excited to be asked to come and present to you all, so thank you for having me here. My name is Rachel Beatty. I'm with the Homeless Planning Council in Delaware. I'm not going to talk much about our organization. I'm going to talk about the challenge to end veterans homelessness. It has been a community-wide challenge. So many organizations have gotten involved, both HUD at the federal level and their local liaisons, as well as local elected officials, homeless service providers. Like, so many people throughout the state have gotten involved. It's been a very, we've made significant progress. So I'm just going to talk about what we've been doing. I'm going to start kind of big picture overview, although Hanson did give some of that big kind of background information. It quote unquote all started back in 2010 when at the federal level, the United States Interagency Council on Homelessness released the first strategic plan ever at the federal level to prevent and end homelessness. You should have some handouts in front of you as well. The first one, you'll see, says the goal of opening doors at the top. This federal strategic plan is pretty comprehensive, and it outlines four major goals. And the first was to prevent end homelessness among veterans in 2015. And a number of other populations also highlighted as part of that strategic plan. So in 2014, First Lady Michelle Obama really, you know, stepped up and encouraged folks to take on this challenge to prevent and end homelessness among veterans by the end of 2015, and really put the call out to mayors and elected officials throughout the country to sign on to really take that challenge on in their local communities. And I kind of want to start by talking briefly about what it means to end homelessness. It sounds, to a lot of folks, very unachievable. Homelessness is a really complex problem that we've had in our country for a very long time. And it's not something that's really easy and simple to address. So when we talk about ending homelessness, we don't mean, and they don't mean either in these, when they're setting these goals, that no one will ever experience homelessness again. Unfortunately, we know that housing prices continue to go up and they just aren't the case in most of the country. We know that people will lose jobs or get sick. and that there will be, unfortunately, cases where people end up losing their housing and have nowhere else to go, especially folks who don't have the family or social support networks to support them. So ending homelessness doesn't mean that no one will ever experience homelessness. What it means is, and that's the second part on that sheet of paper, what it really means is that every community has an approach to homelessness that's strategic. They have a system in place where people are at risk of losing their housing. There are resources that can help them prevent their homelessness, to help them keep their housing. But if people do lose their housing and become homeless, then we have an approach that helps people quickly get back into housing and provide people with the community supports, the health care, the social services, the needs and benefits, the education, the employment, all the other types of things people need to stabilize in their housing. So it's really about having a strategic system in place at the community level that quickly connects people to housing and making them homeless. So that's what it really means to end homelessness. It doesn't mean that no one's ever going to be homeless anymore, although I think we all agree. County Executive Tom Gordon signed on to the challenge in June of 2014. And a number of working groups throughout the state and other local officials throughout the state signed on to the challenge as well. And Governor Jack Markell and Mayor Polly Sear also signed on to the challenge, making it statewide. So when that happened, there are a lot of really strategic things that you're asked to do when you join the challenge. There was a lot of guidance provided about how to go about doing that. A statewide steering committee was created, but in different communities, and Newcastle County created a steering group that consisted of representatives from Newcastle County, representatives from the City of Wilmington, the City of Humor, HUD as well was involved, my organization, the Police Planning Council was involved, the VA was involved, and a lot of other partners as well. And Newcastle County hosted a summit in May of 2015 to really bring community partners together to say, hey, this is a priority, this is something we want to take on in our community, and really try to find housing and services for all of our homeless. One of the really important parts of the challenge and kind of the first step is to know who are the veterans who are homeless in our communities. We did a number of things related to making sure that we could identify all the homeless veterans in our community. One of the best practices in the challenge is really creating a by-name list. Who are they by name? It's Joe, it's John, it's Susie. What are their characteristics and what type of housing would help us best meet their needs as quickly as possible? So we've worked with a lot of partners, a lot of the VA, as well as other veteran service organizations and homeless service providers to identify the homeless veterans in Newcastle County. And I have a second handout there that says what is functional zero on it. And I don't want to get too technical, but they're really asking us to use data to drive decision making. And as I said, one of those pieces of data is really who are the veterans in our community, how many, what are their characteristics, and what do they need. In that chart you have in front of you, what is functional zero? So when we talk about ending homelessness, we're talking about getting to a place where we are at what's called functional zero. And what that really means is that the number of homeless veterans that we know are homeless in our community, that we know that we have enough housing resources to meet their needs in the next month. So we're still working very hard to get to that place, and we've made a lot of progress. But that chart just really kind of puts it, I like the visual there. Again, it's not that no one's experiencing homelessness, although we'd love that to be the case, but that when people do experience homelessness, we know that there's a housing resource that we can connect them to so that we can help get them off the streets and stabilize. One of the things we did in order to make sure we were identifying everyone was we coordinated statewide, and Newcastle County was pivotal in that. We did a veterans point in time count. We had teams for 3 days in November of 2015 going out to the woods and parks and shelters and cold weather shelters and just really, really combing the streets and canvassing areas all throughout the state to make sure that we knew who all of these veterans were. A large part of this work is also about making sure that we're helping people who have the most severe needs. And we know that a lot of the folks who are homeless and have the most severe needs are often the most difficult time to engage around services and housing. So we wanted to make sure we could miss them. By that point, we had a pretty comprehensive list, or so we thought. But we wanted to make sure we knew who all of the veterans were in our community and weren't missing it. So we did that in November. It's a pretty big undertaking. A lot of organizations participated and led teams throughout the state. And the Newcastle County Steering Committee also coordinated with Sally's, the school here in Wilmington, and they collected supplies similar to the care packs, but more geared towards veterans who are moving into housing. And collected supplies, like household supplies, cleaning supplies, the basics that a lot of folks take for granted, that newly housed veterans would have in the new apartments or homes, to help provide support and help them feel that they were moving home. So that was a really fantastic partnership that was initiated, if I may say, by Carrie Casey here. So that was a great partnership. The Newcastle County Steering Committee also did a lot of work around trying to identify housing resources for veterans. So we know that we have HUD-VASH, which is a federal supportive housing program for homeless veterans. We also have Section 8 vouchers. We also have what's called Supportive Services for Veterans Families, which is federal funding administered locally to provide housing and supports to veterans as well. But one of the main things that a lot of these programs rely on are landlords in the private market that are willing to work with service organizations, willing to accept vouchers. And one of the things that the providers who are doing this work, this hard work of trying to get veterans into housing, one of the things they identified as a challenge was finding landlords that were willing to work with them and to rent to their clients and accept the vouchers. So the steering committee presented to the Delaware Apartment Association, were able to get a number of new landlords signed up to rent to homeless veterans, which was very exciting. So that was a really successful event, and a lot of landlords that are part of that association got on board and have helped other veterans.
Sure,
and after that, I know you were very So some of the resources that we have utilized, that we have available in Newcastle County to help end veteran homelessness are, I mentioned the VASH vouchers. So VASH is a partnership between HUD at the federal level and the VA. HUD provides the housing subsidy and the VA provides the supportive services. The number of the VASH vouchers do come down from the federal level and are funneled through, administered through our local government entities. And the VA helps the veteran find a unit and works with the landlords to get the veteran to get housing. 8 new apartment complexes were added to a housing list of complexes that would be willing to work with veterans and accept VASH vouchers, so it was very exciting. And one of the things that's been happening throughout the country that's been being considered a best practice around this initiative is working with veterans who are in housing, who are formerly homeless, with VASH vouchers to actually help them move on to more mainstream housing resources like housing choice vouchers or Section 8. Because VASH is really meant to have, it has attached to it really intensive supportive services. And sometimes once folks stabilize, they no longer need those intensive supportive services. All they really continue to need is the housing subsidy. So it's very exciting. In Newcastle County, what they're doing now is that when VASH clients are identified, they're not taking advantage of the intensive supports and no longer need them to remain in their housing. Taking those folks and moving them into a more mainstream housing subsidy, which frees up VASH voucher for another homeless veteran. So this is a way to make sure we're prioritizing people who have the highest level of need. And that's relatively new, and a lot of communities are doing that, and it's working very well. Also, in Newcastle County, the Housing Choice Voucher Program has a veteran's preference now. So veterans are prioritized for vouchers as they become available. So that's also been helping decrease our homeless veteran numbers. And Newcastle County is also a pass-through for emergency solutions grant funds. Those also come from the federal level and are used for rapid rehousing and emergency shelter. So all those resources are made available through Newcastle County for the initiative. So our progress, we have identified, we have housed in throughout Delaware a total of 200, permanently housed, 232 homeless veterans. 118 of those were housed in Newcastle County, which is very, very exciting. So, and that's since January of 2015. It doesn't mean that the work is done, though. A lot of really fantastic partnerships have happened. understand our progress in the way that we were before. We have a map of our resources and a map of our needs, so we're making a lot of progress, but we still have 82 veterans who remain homeless in Delaware. And recently, in January, we completed the annual point-in-time count of people who are homeless in Delaware. And so we think that number might increase a little bit, because that's when you kind of find folks out there that you may not have known about. So that number might increase by a few, but we're pretty confident with the 82 number at this point. 51 of them are in Newcastle County, and that's actually pretty standard. Each year, our organization does the point-in-time count. When we look at our numbers of people who are experiencing homelessness, we usually see about 70 to 75% of folks who are homeless in Newcastle County. And that really, I think, maps to the population. So I think that's pretty useful in terms of there being more people in Newcastle County. So most folks are between the ages of 40 and 60, that middle age group. Unfortunately, we do know that 17 are above the age of 60, so that is something that can make folks more vulnerable and not have to prioritize other folks. Many are male, but we do have female veterans as well. And a majority of the veterans are African American, which actually, if you look at trends in homelessness, that's actually being home across the country. A larger percentage of folks, usually about 60% throughout the communities of the country on average, are African American and other populations. Most are also non-Hispanic. I think that probably maps to the other population. So the challenge is not over. I think we'd love to be able to say it was over. But in order to be able to actually declare that we've ended veterans' homelessness in Delaware or Newcastle County, we actually have to meet some very strict benchmarks and be approved by the federal government. So I know that as a state, we are in the process of putting together our application, but we still have some work to do, and we really need to be still working to get that number down, even though we've been able to house a number of folks. So the next steps, we're launching a housing blitz to try to really get folks as quickly as possible into those available units with the resources that we have. I know our HUD bash vouchers are at full utilization currently, which is a good thing. It means we're using the resources we have. Unfortunately, that is no longer a resource that we have. So we'll be working pretty hard to identify if there are any other resources out there. Continue to convene meetings with the steering committee to be strategizing around next steps. The committee meets bi-weekly and are very effective at being strategic, so it's great. There may be other partners and service and housing providers in Delaware that we can engage that we haven't yet, so we're working to identify who those folks may be and just make sure we have everyone around the table. Landlord recruitment never ends. We always need new landlords that are willing to work with us on this initiative. And, you know, I think a really important part of this, and I actually think it was probably very strategic at the federal level, they started with veterans. They are going to be initiating a challenge to end chronic homelessness in the coming year following the open doors goals, followed by families and youth, and then everyone. But I think the reason why they chose actually to start with veterans is that the VA does have a lot of resources for veterans that other populations can't access. So this is really just an exercise in thinking about how do we identify folks in our communities who are homeless and match them quickly to the services and housing that they need so that we can create a system that we can apply to all populations in our community. So the challenge with veterans is not over, and we'll be probably taking on some more challenges in the community with the populations as well. And here are some highlights of some events that have happened around Better Touch. So I think that's all I have.
Well, thank you very much.
Sure, thank
you. Are there any questions from members of council on the presentation? Councilman Taggart?
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chairman. You know, just so I'm clear, you don't have any section of vouchers. You're located in community service. You only have the BASH vouchers, which lead into the Section 8 on the preference of the list, correct? Oh, you didn't mention Section 8.
Can I just clarify that, Carrie Casey of Community Services? We have 1,825 Section 8 housing choice vouchers. there is an additional program called the Veterans Administration Supportive Housing Program vouchers. That is administered by the VA and actually Wilmington Housing Authority, because HUD has allocated vouchers to the Wilmington Housing Authority. But as you know, with vouchers, you can go anywhere you want with your voucher. And we've had over 23, 24 clients move into Newcastle County. And I'm, you know, we'll introduce Lori in a second, but Lori is specifically the Newcastle County VASH coordinator on top of her regular caseload. So she works specifically, but they're completely separate from Section 8, but they work just like a Section 8 voucher, but they come with more supportive services and with the VA.
And there's not any time limit on them, so they're correct.
But as Rachel said, they, because of the supportive case management, mm-hmm. we have some of our clients that are really able to get on their feet and their job and working, so we're able to bring them into our regular Section 8 program, which then frees up the voucher for a veteran, a homeless veteran, to use as a VASH client. Because mm-hmm. as you know, we talk all the time, you know, our Section 8 vouchers are precious, mm-hmm. as these VASH vouchers are precious, and there's nothing more that's needed than more vouchers. So we try to maximize and utilize as many of those vouchers as we can to help the most people.
Now, well, you mentioned this program that you said you're going to look for other partners and programs in the state, but the state's kind of doing that when they're building counseling. Is that going to be in conjunction with that,
Carrie Casey, we work as, we have a statewide steering committee to end veterans homelessness, and the state, I mean, there's, you know, even the Delaware Center for Homeless Veterans is trying to buy the Layton home right in Wilmington, and there's going to be 21 VASH vouchers there, so it's a statewide initiative, and as Rachel said, it's worked so well because we have everybody at the table working together. I mean, we have the actual names of people that need to find housing mm-hmm. with everyone together. But there's always the potential to find other partners, specifically landlords, specifically other people that are willing to house someone that might have some challenges. You know, some of our vets come with some barriers and willing to overlook those barriers, maybe waive an application fee or do something special because they're a veteran and no veteran we think should be homeless.
And to be clear, when you talk about veterans, veterans and their families?
Yeah.
I want to recognize Councilman Powers being present. You have a question, Councilman Powers?
Yes. I guess your program statewide. Sorry, I came in late. And my question is more: do you have units in southern Newcastle County?
Well, so there are a number of different housing resources that I don't administer. They're just partners of ours. And housing choice vouchers can go anywhere. HUD VASH vouchers can go anywhere. So it's all about where landlords are willing to rent.
Yeah, I'm just asking more in the middle towns. That's my district, southern, south of the canal, because most of them usually want to be, they don't really want to come to Wilmington.
Carrie Casey with Community Services, and it's probably a good segue into the other folks that are here. We don't have any specific VASH in Middletown, like the veterans that are seeking housing in the Middletown area, but we have Section 8 in those areas. And if we had a veteran that wanted to live in Middletown, we would seek to find them an apartment or a landlord that would take them.
I mean, some of them are living more or less with the Vietnam Vets Motorcycle Club. I mean, I have a pretty big, you know, veterans community down there. But I'm just, you know, just wondering what to do.
I believe the presentation said there were 8 new complexes of partners from the apartment complex organization, or any of those complexes. Where are they located?
They're located throughout Newcastle County, but I don't think any are identified in Middletown. No.
South Newcastle.
Yeah.
They're led by the Sophia Hampton Community Services. They're led by the partners decide for the group housing. So Ministry of Caring, they're doing a new project that's going to include veteran housing. But they've located it in both parts of Newcastle.
Yeah.
We're kind of led by.
I just, knowing a lot of those guys, they're not going to come up.
But the other part is that you can only use them where the landlord is willing to
take part
of the program.
Yeah, I understand.
The question I have, when a veteran is doing well enough to be relieved from the VASH voucher, and then you're saying they go into the typical Section 8 program, then where does that voucher come from in Section 8? I mean, how do you...
To you, Terry Casey, to use a term that's just like a, you know, it's one of my Section 8 terms, we absorb the voucher. So it's we absorb them into our program. Mm-hmm. So they just utilize, we're able to absorb them, and we start paying on their behalf. As long as we're not over-leased in a calendar year, like of 1825 time, I think it's, I don't know, there's a certain tabulation that we create. As long as we're not over-leasing in the year, which we never are because we never get our full funding, we absorb clients. Like even if, let's say it's somebody moving from New York that wants to move to Delaware, at times where we want to, you know,
that's
absorb,
transferable, right?
We transfer them and we absorb them into our program. We can also bill, like what we usually do with VASH is we'll send a bill to Wilmington Housing Authority and say you owe us money for it. But because we have the flexibility, we're able to absorb them, which frees up, you know, a voucher on the VASH side. So they become one of our voucher clients. They become one of our 1,825.
Right, and that's the part I don't understand. How do they become part of that 1825 when you have a waiting list of people already there? Do you give them some priority, or?
Well, we have a balance. I mean, it's really like we're taking clients off the waiting list too at the same time. It helps our utilization of our funding to absorb clients from time to time. And we're talking one or two, maybe three clients that we've done that, where we're able to balance our expenditures. I mean, it's a constant sort of balancing act in terms of what we're getting from HUD and our utilization, and taking clients off the waiting list. So we looking at our finances is really how that's deemed, and there's no priority. I mean, housing authorities absorb all the time, or port, or bill. It's all a matter of the funding that we receive and the balance of taking clients off our waiting list. It's sort of, we do them both at the same time. We're able to absorb and take clients off our waiting list, which, you know, we only took 500 clients off our, people off our new waiting list last February. We're more than halfway through that list. So we've been housing a lot because our funding's been up a little bit, thanks to the federal government and the allocation. So we're able to do both.
So when you absorb someone from VASH, this person still has a voucher that's still transferable to wherever they may decide to go.
And VASH is too. VASH is transferable.
Right, of course. Right.
Yeah, they can port wherever they want, move wherever they want.
Okay, thank you. Any additional comment or questions from members of council? Councilman Powers and Councilman Tagg.
Just, knowing there's almost, especially in Blackburn, there's a transient of them, and more or less they pretty much, you know, back in that woods they're living there, and then what happens, you know, it's been kind of hard to get help for a lot of them because they have no real address. What'll happen to them, we just know it from trying to get them help. Just about the time the weather gets warm, they go to Maine, and then they start coming back again, and then they go south. But they only move and they are, you know, it's probably hard for you to ever find them.
Just to say, you know, we have some homeless outreach providers in the state, but one of the things that we could do better with is homeless outreach. But we're never, you know, that transient groups do move with the letter. There's not a ton of them.
And there's really no address. What we found is there's no address to start with.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're floating around out there.
A number of day centers in the, there is one in Newark, Friendship Hospital Department Center. There's a couple in the city of Wilmington as well, Friendship Hospital Center. They'll allow clients who are sleeping outdoors to use their addresses and their addresses.
Additional question? I'm sorry, it's Councilman Taggart.
Just a quick bit. Are the Section 8 and the VASH vouchers using the same guidelines as, say, if I have a single individual and the 8 voucher can get 800, is the same thing?
You're close enough, they can go to those places.
Can I start with the second part?
Well, Councilman Cartier has a question or comment. Councilman Cartier?
No, I was going to talk about the demographics of the population we're dealing with.
Go right ahead.
So it appears to me that it's not really the really old or the really young. It's the middle people. So we're looking at Iraqi veterans from the early 90s mostly. What is the conflict that most of these veterans are associated with?
So I don't have that information with me. I can get that to you.
So
the providers who are working with those.
Okay. I think they, you know, they have a vehicle. They don't use it.
Carrie Casey, Community Services. We, because this was our only agenda item, we wanted to give, Sophie and I really wanted to give the opportunity for some of the staff that work really, really hard on these initiatives to come and talk for a few minutes. And so I brought a couple special guests today, and we'll be brief, but I just, you know, I come to these meetings and I, you know, I can tell all these stories, but really it's the staff that work with me that are the ones that are really doing the heavy lifting and really doing absolutely incredible work in the county. And I just wanted to draw attention to those folks. So specifically for this Veterans Initiative and our VASH program, they're my colleague, Lori Grady, who is the housing program assistant, that works on top of her caseload, specifically with veterans that were homeless to find housing. And Rachel mentioned in our meeting, you know, that we work with about 23 VASH clients. And Lori, and I just wanted to talk just a second about what Lori does. Lori will meet with the veteran and find out where they want to live. And if that apartment complex does not take Section 8, she will personally call them, or have me call, or have George Haggerty from Land Use call, or somebody call and try to convince an apartment complex to take this homeless veteran. And not only does she do that, a lot of times she will ask them to waive application fees, to look past maybe a criminal or a judgment, to give the veteran a chance. And just to highlight, in November, we went to the Delaware Apartment Association and spoke in front of this huge group of people, and she actually had some of the apartment complexes that have come on board that are housing our homeless veterans come and talk to the apartment complexes in the room to tell them their story and how wonderful it's been housing these homeless veterans. And this has all been on her thinking and how to best help the veteran in our community. So she's here. She's going to introduce our other special guest, but I'd also like to introduce Mike Tiedemann, who is from the Veterans Administration. He is the one that works with Lori on the VASH, Veterans Administration Supportive Housing Program, and he and Lori work together, and he will bring the client to our office. They will work on all types of different wraparound services for this client. I mean, there is no better program than what's working here in the state, and I cannot draw more attention to it, because it's everybody at the table working together by name, helping people find housing. There's nothing better than that. So lastly, and Lori's actually going to introduce him, but we have an Army veteran here with us, Mr. Lamar Dobbs, who has also come. He came to the Delaware Apartment Association with us in November and spoke and gave his story. And he is one of our VASH clients, and he's just going to talk for a few minutes about what the experience has meant to him. And he's been a wonderful partner to us. And always, you know, we'll call him and say, come on, Mark, come with us. We'll pick him up and take him, you know, wherever. And he's just always wanting to be with us and helping us tell the story of the program. So with that, I'm going to let Lori introduce Mr. Dobbs.
I'm Lori Grady with DeKalb County Department of Community Services, and this is Mr. Dobbs. He has been a veteran with me for since, what year, 2012?
Yes.
2012 he came to me, and he got the help right away. And the program's going to be Mark Dobbs, you want to sit there?
Okay. Here, I'll move.
You can have the hot seat.
First of all, thank you for letting me be here. My name is Lamar Dobbs, U.S. Army veteran. And I say Army all the time because there's only one branch of service, and that is the Army. So, that being said, this HUD-VASH program...
You got two people in agreement with you here.
Yeah. Thank you. The HUD-VASH program is very new to me. I've been in the state of Delaware about 5 years now. I would have never knew about this program if I didn't have some news from my doctor at the VA hospital. So this is how it happened. 2012, I was diagnosed with kidney cancer. Okay, so they took my kidney, my right kidney. There were some complications. So I was in the hospital almost 2 weeks after my surgery. Finally, I was discharged back to my home. Well, a week after I got back at my home, the office manager came and said that I had to leave. Because you have to understand that when you're on family medical leave, your job does not pay you, period. So I exhausted all my funds, all my savings and everything else, and I just couldn't catch up. So that's how I became homeless. Fortunately, I was only homeless for 1 day, because the following day, I finally got in touch with somebody at the VA hospital. They brought me in, they did an assessment and everything else, and they had a bed for me that day. So that was a blessing in itself. So from there, I met this gentleman, Jay Hills, which is part of the HUD Badge program as well. He came to the veteran house, which was 12 veterans housed there at that time, and said that I was the candidate for the HUD Badge program. That's how I found out about the program. So after that, about 4 months after that, I was finally moved into my home. So now I've been there with Lloyd Grady's help, Mike Tiedemann's help, Carrie, of course, and a whole lot of individuals at the VA hospital helping me through this transition period. My thing with the HUD VASH, I believe the HUD VASH program and the homelessness coincides with each other. And I say that because when I walk around in the city of Wilmington sometimes, I see veterans that are laying out on a sidewalk. They have their backpack underneath their head. You have individuals on the park bench, you have individuals at the train station, you have individuals under the bridge. But they do not know what is available for them. That's the issue I have here. And I believe that if we advocate a little more as a collective, even myself, even though I'm a HUD VASH recipient, I like to see somebody to actually go out to these veterans and let the veterans know that they need to go to the VA hospital first and foremost so they can get a primary care provider. Then they can be properly diagnosed. Once they're properly diagnosed, then we can take them steps. But it makes that veteran feel a whole lot better that they do matter. And believe me, we matter. You know, but there's so many people not doing enough, I believe, to make sure that veteran gets to that VA hospital so we can start this transition period. Because once they're there and then they get into some shelter, somewhere in Wilmington, somewhere in Dover, whatever, they're in the shelter, now they can actually lay their head down, take a hot shower and everything else, and they'll feel better about themselves. They're off the street that quick. But then all the resources come into play. We can let them know about everything that's going on, especially the DOL. Department of Labor is always taking people, putting them through school so they can get a trade, and they pay for it. A lot of veterans don't even know about that. And then we have the other resources for veterans, excuse me, that's bad thing. The other veterans don't know about all the other programs that are available for them. Even, you know, for furniture vouchers, you got the food vouchers, you got all these people trying to help you, but they don't know that it even exists because nobody's really communicating with them. And I believe if we communicate more, I'm not saying you per se, I'm just saying a collective, because we're all talking about ending homelessness. But it starts somewhere. It has to start with us. And definitely, I'm going to be doing it until I leave the face of this earth. Because I believe that that's needed for all these veterans. So I just want to tell you that, you know, I like the fact that I'm invited to these meetings so I can talk to everybody, so I can meet different people, and we can all get together and try to end this homelessness as fast as we can. Because it's bad. It's really bad out there. You know, and we owe it to them to do something for them. So I thank you very much for listening to me. I hope I didn't take up too much of your time. Thank you, sir.
No, you didn't. Thank you for coming. Are there any comments or questions from members of council for Mr. Dobb?
Yes, sir.
Councilman Tagg.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, Mr. Dobb, you mentioned something about the homeless veterans maybe not knowing about the VA. That almost just seems like it almost be like a no-brainer. I mean, as a veteran, the VA, they're all everywhere. It's the other programs maybe that they might have trouble connecting with, but the VA seems like that should be something they shouldn't have any problem at all, you know, trying to connect with. What would be the impedance there? How come
what I was trying to say is that a lot of veterans that are in Wilmington, whatever, have come from somewhere else. So they don't know where the VA is. They don't even know anything about the VA. That's what I was trying to say. I'm sorry I didn't put that together. But yeah, because there are veterans that I see at times and I talk to, And they don't even know where they are sometimes. You know, they took a bus down here, they got hitchhiked, whatever, from Pennsylvania, from Maryland, whatever, because they're trying to get a new start somewhere. But they don't know what's available to them. And that's the problem I see at times. And I think, you know, that really needs to be addressed. I hope I answered
that. I think in particular, some of the new initiatives that are rolled out, they probably don't know. I think VASH itself is relatively new. So as we bring on other programs, then somehow it's got to be communicated. And if you're not connected in some way, there's no way you're going to really know that the government or the private sector or whoever is doing this are doing it, in fact. And people give up oftentimes.
Yes, they do.
They become hopeless.
The VA has every program there. I mean, they know about everything that's going on.
I believe so, yeah.
Yes, for the most part, the VA does. They know about all the programs. And that's where Mike Peterman comes in. Mm-hmm. I deal with him on a regular basis. You know, he helps me out all the time. But yeah, he'll make sure that veteran is situated somewhere that night, somewhere, where they can lay their head down and they can go from there. Because then they're going to start feeling better about themselves. Otherwise, they're not. They're just going to melt away. And that's not good for us. Society.
Any other comment or questions from any member of council for Mr. Dodd? Thank you very much, yes, Mr.
Thank
Dodd.
You.
Thank you.
Any additional? I think you have a new...
We have one more special guest. Stephanie Shields is a graduate student from the University of Delaware that is doing her graduate assistantship with the Division of Community Development and Housing this semester. So you'll see her coming to the meetings over the spring and is working on some special projects. So thank you.
All right, free labor.
Is that it for your agenda for today? Any comment or questions from members of the public? Seeing none, is there anything under other? Is there a motion?
Motion adjourned.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you very much.